We are living at the cusp of some major historical events, and I think really apocalyptic events. I keep thinking to myself, you know, if the world were going to end, this would be as good a weekend as any.
Tell me why you say that.
In light of what is going on in our own capital, Washington, D.C., and the intersection of the Western world and the Middle East, especially our good friend, or what has been our good friend historically, the state of Israel. I've been ruminating here all day on the ancient biblical prophet. I'm a Judaica professor. That's what I do. So I've lived in the Middle East, lived in the land of Israel. I speak the language, and of course I read the ancient Hebrew Bible. And here in the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter in the second verse, it declares, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem." I'm reading the English translations that render it a cup of staggering unto all peoples, or a cup of trembling to all peoples. But I'm reading the Hebrew. It says, Safra'al lechol hamim, which means, literally, it says, a cup of poison to all the peoples round about. And isn't that how the state of Israel is, in fact, being viewed by so much of the world today? Not just a problem, but real poison. And when the United States of America, our own government, does a historical shift in its policy toward Israel, my goodness, we are on the cusp of something, and I think apocalyptically speaking, even.
Tell me what you think then. You used the word apocalyptic. You were talking about the 1967 borders. What's so significant about the 1967 borders of Israel that if President Obama continues to push Israel to go back to those borders, that this somehow signals some kind of apocalypse? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's interesting how our president, Obama, uses such diplomatic speak as the 1967 borders. Again, having lived in the land of Israel for several years, I can tell you what we're talking about. This is just 1967. What is being referenced here is borders that go back to the 1949 armistice line. That's exactly what is now the official policy of the United States of America toward our best ally in the Middle East. You must withdraw to the armistice line established in 1949 at the very end of Israel's brave war of independence, which would leave Israel with a little strip along the Mediterranean Sea between 9 and 11 miles wide, separating it from Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. That's the whole country. It would leave the airport, in fact, under the gun of long-range sniper fire from the new quote-unquote Palestinian state, which everybody knows is going to be a terrorist state. If you want a recipe for Armageddon, it's right here. And what about the city of Jerusalem, that cup of poison to all the nations? Well, the idea is, according to those 1949 armistice lines, let's cut Jerusalem in two. Let's turn Jerusalem into the Berlin of the Middle East. When I first went to Israel, I was just a young university student, had never been out of the United States before, and I went to a little school on Mount Zion, nestled among the trees on Mount Zion. That was my first taste of Israel. That school was located in what had been no man's land for years and years, from 1949 until 1967. There were landmines all through that area, cutting right through the heart of the city. The Western Wall, the holiest site in Jerusalem, the Christian shrines, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which, by the way, I think is quite historical, all of that was in the hands of the Jordanians, in the hands of the Arabs. We're talking about cutting the city in two again with ugly barbed wire fences and, who knows, landmines? Yeah, that's what is now the official policy of the United States of America. We're looking at some trouble ahead, let me tell you.
Okay, so what does that mean? So you're saying that you think that if Israel is forced to go back to its original borders, whether it's the 1949 armistice or we look at the 1967 borders before the war, which gave them new expanded territory, if the U.S. government or others force them back into that, I don't think I quite understand how that will be the first domino to trip a perhaps a new kind of apocalypse. Give me a scenario that you think would be a likely
one. Well, the first domino to trigger a new sort of apocalypse.
This yeah, but it'd be how? What would it, I mean,
it's a war process because a Palestinian state, which is the universal demand of the
right.
nations of the world community, and now yes, the United States, our official policy. Everybody knows.
But I'm going to lean on you here a little bit. So I'm trying. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that you think the Palestinians, then they would say that's not good enough. And we're going to continue to harass. That's not going to be used as a way of saying, okay, that's fine. We're back to 1967. You got yours. We got ours. We got some of ours back. You lost some of yours. Okay. And that this is it. Then it'll be peace. You don't think that won't bring about peace is what you're saying.
Not exactly. I always tell people, this is not Switzerland where people come yodeling over the hillsides. Again, having lived in the Middle East, I've seen terrorism up close and personal. I worked in Lebanon, by the way. I had to go into work every day, worked for an American news gathering operation, went into work wearing a flak jacket every day. A buddy of mine was murdered by Shiite terrorists just north of the Israeli border. I had to videotape the aftermath of a horrific terrorist incident where a young teenage girl full of hate and propaganda got in a pickup truck full of dynamite and drove it into Israeli convoy along the very road that I'd been on just an hour before and blew to smithereens a convoy of 13 Israeli soldiers and I don't know how many. They live with that every day. And Israel having given back Gaza now, given it back, now what have we seen but rockets coming over the border into the southern Israeli settlement town of Sderot and in the north in Kiryat Shmona, which was the town I lived in fact. We've seen that rocketed repeatedly over the years from Katyusha rockets that come whistling in over the hills. And we honestly think that now if we carve out the middle of Israel, this is going to be some lovely panacea, Pollyanna, and everybody sits and sings kumbaya. Not going to happen. This is a war process, and it's serious. Israel is not about to commit suicide so that the world will think well of it.
What would happen to the Wailing Wall under the 1967 borders?
From 1949 until 1967, Jews did not have access to their holiest site. In that war of independence fought in 1948, the entire Jewish quarter of the old city was overrun. It was ransacked. The Jewish population had to flee out of the Zion Gate. The shrapnel marks are still there on the Zion Gate, where the Jewish population had lived there for centuries in the old city, literally had to get out of old Jerusalem, leave the Western Wall behind. It was a brave rescue effort. But for all that period, from 1949 until the Six-Day War of 1967, Jews did not have access to their holiest site.